The MGM Theater of the Air. Our star this week, Ann Southern. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Vice President of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, and noted writer of many Broadway and Hollywood musical hits, Mr. Howard Dietz.
Thank you. The full hour play you are about to hear on the MGM Theater of the Air is one of the best comedies of recent years. It is called Three Loves Has Nancy. It was originally a Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer movie. Our in-person star is that accomplished actress with whose inimitable style you are all familiar, Ann Southern. In a moment, we will hear Miss Southern in Three Loves Has Nancy by the MGM Theater of the Air. Town goes to a big city. Well, that's been done before. But this girl, naive, sweet, and demure, as all small town girls supposedly are, also has her share of spirit and temper. She makes a dent on the big metropolis. In the exciting story that unfolds on our stage, as the MGM Theater of the Air presents Ann Southern in person in Three Loves Has Nancy. It's midnight in Manhattan. There are two apartments joined by a narrow terrace paved with flagstones. They're almost, but not quite, penthouse apartments. On the left, the rooms are dark, silent, French doors, bolted and shut. On the right, the rooms are glowing, alive, candlelit. The doors open. The sound of feminine laughter emerges on the night air. A figure slips through the open door and stealthily moves along the terrace, raises a hand toward the locked doors in the dark, silent apartment. Inside, in bed, unaware of the nocturnal visitor, a man lies sleeping.
Robert! Hey! Wake up! Robert!
Robert! Go away. I'm sorry. Advance royalties are against the rules of the house. I'm sorry. What?
Miles, down here on the terrace.
Just a minute. I need to slip his robe.
The man out of bed in the middle of the night ought to be a law.
Hurry up, will you?
Who is it, anyhow?
Niles, you dope.
Niles, what do you want?
In. Open this door.
You realize it's nearly midnight?
I'll break this glass, so help me.
You realize I was enjoying the first good night's sleep I've had in years?
Now, come on, old boy. Be a sport. Open up.
What are you doing out there on my terrace, anyhow? You're supposed to be entertaining a beautiful young lady in your apartment next door.
She's why I'm here.
I can't hear you.
You abysmal aborigine left me here.
Oh, yeah, of course. Sure, come on.
Another minute, she'd have heard me. Shut that door.
Oh, now, see here, Miles, I...
10, 20, 100 good publishers in this town, and my publisher has to sleep with doors and windows bolted.
I do? Was I?
Will you shut that door?
Oh, boy, you got me out of bed to open it.
Well, shut it.
Yeah. I knew when you moved next door it was a mistake.
Give me a cigarette.
Yeah, there on the nightstand, and I knew it was a mistake. Never let an author get close to you, Robert. My father always said they'll abuse the privilege every time.
Robert, listen to me. I've got to get out of town.
You woke me up to tell me that? Well, have a pleasant trip. I'm going back to bed.
Oh, no, you're not. You're going to help me get out of town.
Now, see here, Niles. I'm your publisher, worse luck. I was also your roommate at college. But when it comes to being drafted as accomplice for one of your escapades...
Bob, it's Vivian.
Who's Vivian? Oh, Vivian. Oh, the beautiful actress, huh?
Yes.
The redhead for whom this evening was so carefully prepared. Champagne, soft music, candlelight dining. What happened, Niles? Did she take you seriously?
Her mother did.
Her mother? Redheads like that have mothers?
Also fathers. So help me, Bob. All I did was ask the girl up for dinner.
I know, old boy.
A pleasant, harmless evening between two friends.
I know, old boy.
We are children, either of us.
I know, old boy.
Stop saying that. Well, she brought her mother. That was bad enough. The old, her mother took it for granted that we were engaged. Said she'd cabled Vivian's father in London the happy news. They've accepted me.
Well, if you explained that you were just friends.
Oh, she was delighted to hear it. Says friendship is the basis of marriage. Another cigarette.
Help yourself.
Anyhow, I slipped out and got over here. Now, you know that lecture tour you wanted to sign me for?
You weren't interested.
I am now. I'm ready to leave tonight.
You're not leaving anywhere for a week. You've got proofs to correct.
Now, don't cross me, Bob. I'm in no mood to be crossed.
Oh, see here, Niles, it might not be so bad. Vivian's a sweet girl. Well, she can be sweet. You might both be very happy.
No, not me. Marriage wasn't made for me, and I wasn't made for marriage. I'm leaving town, Bob, and I'm leaving now.
One at a time, please. Don't crowd.
Oh, Mr. Niles, how come you all so write so convincingly about marriage and you're single yourself?
Madam, some of the world's greatest generals never went into the battle.
Mr. Niles, I wonder if you get your characters and then your plot, or your plot and then your characters, or vice versa.
Well, I should say vice versa. All right, who's next?
I am, Mr. Niles.
Very well, I would... Say...
Would you mind writing on Nancy's wedding day?
Hello.
Hello.
How did you get into a big, small town like this?
Why, I live here, Mr. Niles.
She was born here. I'm Mrs. Briggs, Mr. Niles, her mother.
That makes you a very fortunate woman, madam.
Well, could you please sign the book now, Mr. Niles?
The book? Oh, yes, of course. What was it again?
On Nancy's wedding day.
And who is Nancy?
I am.
I see. And when is your wedding day?
Today.
Today?
Uh-huh.
Well, my felicitations, Nancy. Here you are. I'm glad you enjoyed my book.
Oh, I didn't say that.
You mean you didn't like it?
Well, I never read it.
It's my copy, Mr. Niles. I was, well, embarrassed to come right up and speak to you.
And I told her that was silly.
Naturally. Who's next, please?
Well, I'll tell you what. Maybe I'll have time to read your book in my honeymoon. How much is one?
$3. All right, madam, push through.
$3?
That's right, if you will just step to one side.
Mother, please. Did you know it was $3?
Honey, I just said charge it.
Well, it was only $2 last time.
Well, it was a smaller book, Nancy.
This one probably weighs 5 or 6 pounds.
Well, even so. Well, it was our own fault.
Mr. Niles, this wire just came for you.
Thank you.
Nancy, I could return it if you think it's too much.
Well, he wrote my name in it. It's ruined now. Well, can't be helped. Come along, Mother.
Mr. Niles, could you... would you come to the wedding? It's tonight. The mayor's going to perform the ceremony. We'd be so honored.
Mother, we don't want any strangers at the wedding, and we've wasted enough time. Goodbye, Mr. Niles. Hurry, Mother.
Yes, dear. Coming.
Now I know the meaning of true Southern hospitality.
Not bad news, Mr. Niles.
Bad news? Not to go to that girl's wedding? Oh, the wire. Oh, no, indeed. It's from my publisher.
Sales skyrocketing.
Vivian has gone on the road with a play.
Are you going to be here tomorrow, Mr. Niles? I want my grandmother to look at you.
I'd love to look at your grandmother, too, but I'm leaving on the first train to New York tonight.
Read me that letter again.
Oh, Grandpa.
Read it.
Now, Papa.
You keep out of this. Nancy?
Please excuse me if I don't show up for the wedding. I can't explain by letter, but I love you. Yours truly, George.
Please excuse him if he don't... By thunder, by the eternal thunderation.
Well, what are we going to say? What are we going to do?
Leaving my granddaughter. My granddaughter.
We'll just never live this down.
Oh, Mother, hush. Help me out of this dress. It's too tight anyway. Oh, please don't take on so, honey. It isn't as if somebody passed away.
I wouldn't mind if he passed away.
Why, Mother.
That would be beautiful.
Oh, Mother. But I can't think and I've got to think. George went to New York to find himself in business. He was coming back to marry me tonight.
But please excuse him if he don't. Bah!
But he couldn't. Why?
What did we say to the mayor and to everybody?
Well, I know George didn't meet somebody else.
When he was lucky enough to be getting you? Don't be ridiculous.
And he's written regularly. And now...
I tell you, George is in trouble, real trouble.
Mayor's wife talked. Len, how she talked.
Now, we'll shut off her talk, everybody's.
Oh, Grandpa, we can't do that. They'll all
know. There's one way we can do it. You're going to New York.
Nancy? To New York?
Alone?
Don't give me any arguments. We'll say George can't come here because he got a big business deal in New York, so Nancy's going there to get married.
It might work.
Of course it'll work. Here's your fare. You're leaving tonight.
Oh, Grandpa, I can't take any more money from you. We've been living on you for 20 years.
Well, honey, he can't take it yonder.
Mother.
You go to New York and find George. If he's in trouble, get him out. If he ain't in trouble, marry him.
Thank you, Grandpa.
You got a good head. You can take care of yourself.
I will. And don't you worry. I'll bring George back. That's a promise, Grandpa.
Dinner for one? You won't mind sharing a table, miss?
Oh, not at all.
Beg pardon, sir. May I seat someone at your table?
What? Oh, yeah, sure.
Oh, no. Here you are, miss.
Thank you. What's this pad and pencil for?
You just write your order, miss.
Oh, well, imagine that.
Here's the menu. Table for three, yes.
Just one moment, sir.
Well, I'm starved. What are you going to have?
I've ordered salad.
Just salad? My, you eat like a bird. You should see what my grandfather tucks away. Oh.
What's the matter?
Oh, you look very familiar. I've seen you somewhere before. Why, of course, the author.
The $3 author.
Mr. Niles. Oh, of course. Okay. Oh, my goodness.
Is it the name, face, or circumstance that's funny?
Oh, life. Imagine. I expected to be riding on a train with George, and here I am riding on a train with you. Oh, dear. Wait till I tell George.
Well, the comparison isn't that funny.
Yes, it is.
Well, by the way, where is George? You two are married by now, I suppose.
No. Our plans changed. I'm going to New York to be married. Oh.
Don't do that. I've had a bad day. What's the matter?
This menu. $1.85 for dinner. Why, that's terrible.
Oh, now, please.
And look at this. Say, $2.25. Why, we sold the whole cow for $60.
Well, now, see here. You're going to be my guest, of course. So stop worrying about the prices on that menu and just order what you want.
Well, that's very nice of you, Mr. Niles. It really is.
I know.
But I couldn't think of letting you do that. I have plenty of money in my bag. My bag. Where is it?
Did you have a bag?
Well, of course I had a bag. I distinctly remember putting it down on the table right there in front of you.
Well, maybe I snitched it when you weren't looking.
Somebody took my bag.
No, look here. You can't blindly accuse people.
It was right in front of you, right on top of your hand, practically.
You mean that I... Now, wait a minute.
Grandpa told me, Nancy, you look out for...
The $3 authors, I suppose. What are you ducking under the table for?
It's under here.
What? What did you say?
It fell on the floor. Oh, dear. The whole time it was on the floor while I was thinking it's you.
Well, you got panicky, that's all. It was natural. You didn't mean anything by it.
Oh, yes, I did. Everybody, quiet, please.
Here, what do you think you're doing?
Quiet. I owe this gentleman a public apology. A minute ago, I thought he'd taken my bag, but he hadn't. I ought to be ashamed of myself, and I am. There, I feel better.
I'm getting out of here.
Oh, but you haven't had your dinner.
I'm not hungry. Good night.
Oh, Mr. Niles.
Yes, what is it?
Well, you've been so awfully nice. Will you let George and me repay you by taking you out to dinner sometime in New York?
Certainly, and I've just the place. Grant's Tomb, in the grill, downstairs.
It's a date. Oh, my goodness, give this person time to get to the curb. No need to be in such a rush. Where's that sign? Lexington Avenue and... Oh, dear, 11 more blocks. 11 more streets to cross. Well, 1, 2, 3, go. Hello?
Hello, is this the proprietor? Well, I walked 29 blocks to your store, and then you were out to lunch. The man said to call you. Oh, he did? Yes. Well, maybe I was wrong about George being general manager of your store. I must have misunderstood. But do you know where he is? Oh, I see. Thank you very much. No, he's not my husband. That is not yet. But he's missing. And a policeman told me to ask you if you had him here at the Missing Persons Bureau. George Wilkins. Well, not if you had him, you know, but if you'd help me find him, please. I've got to find him. Yeah, I've just got to.
Bob, huh? Bob, the elevator's stopping at this floor.
All right, quiet, everybody.
Yeah.
A little surprise party for our traveling authors about to be sprung. Remember how we rehearsed it? Everybody down now, get down. That's it, you're scraping your forehead, see? When I give the signal, all together we shout, "Welcome, Master." Now, shh.
Yeah, all right.
Welcome, Master!
Well, oh, Mr. B.
Vivian, what are you doing here? I read you were on tour.
Darling, Robert, so sweet. When I heard by accident that Malcolm Niles was coming back, I couldn't tear myself away.
Oh.
Surprise.
Yeah.
Hazel, darling, I've so much to tell you. Wherever shall I begin? You know, the last time I was here, when I met...
Bob, huh? Bob, the elevator's stopping again.
Oh, no, not before I get her out of here. Baby! Oh, never mind, there isn't time.
Hey, well, hiya, Bob, you old rascal.
Not so loud, you dope. Come here.
I got your wire. Hey, what are you... What's the idea of shoving
Don't
me?
Don't talk. Get down this hall before anybody sees you. That's all right for a minute.
Now, look, old boy, after that wire, I was all ready to consider you my benefactor, but with a reception like this...
She's back. She's out there.
Who's out there? Not...
Yes.
But your wire says... Your wire said she'd gone on the road with a play.
Well, she changed her mind. She changed her mind.
Why, you bilious, blundering... You should have checked up before you sent me that telegram.
You don't need a publisher. You need a G-man.
Well, we can't stand here. I've got to figure out what to do. Come on, my bedroom, right down here.
No, wait a minute, old boy.
What's the matter with you?
You can't go in your bedroom. Matt,
I'd like
wait.
To see anybody keep me out.
Oh, hello, Mr. Niles.
No.
I tried to tell you. She said she met you in Birch Valley. I liked her face, so you settle it between you. I wash my hands of all orders.
How did you find out where I live?
At the Missing Persons Bureau.
I'm not missing.
But George is. They know everything at the Missing Persons Bureau except where George is. And somebody stole all my money. Grandpa's money. The police said it was Barney the Dip, but they don't know where he is either. And I don't like New York. Nobody's neighborly. You're not even glad to see me, and I'm getting out of here right now. I'm going.
Oh, wait a minute. Listen.
People having fun. Singing and laughing.
Yeah.
Nobody caring at all about... Oh.
I think I've got the answer. Put down that suitcase. You haven't any place to go.
Well, I'll find some place.
At this hour? Why, the hotels are all closed. You're staying right here, Nancy.
Oh, I couldn't do that. I only came here because I thought you might help me find George.
Oh, sure. Yeah, you're going to stay right here until we do find him.
Oh, well, you're awfully kind.
Now, you get unpacked and go right to sleep. You've had a hard day. Sleep well and don't worry about a thing. Everything is going to be all right. So, that's the story, Vivian. You see why I waited until the gang left to tell you.
Well, I don't believe you. I think you're out of your mind.
That's true enough.
Why?
What Mal told you. It's all perfectly true, Vivian. I've seen the girl myself.
Well, I haven't, and I wouldn't trust either of you.
Oh, now, Vivian, you must understand I can't desert her. It was one of those things, you know, a simple, sweet, unspoiled... Well, I was a fool.
I don't believe you.
A fool, but I'm not a cad. I shall marry her because I must.
I won't have it, do you hear?
My hands are tied. But we'll still see each other, darling. We'll pretend you're my cousin. Your mother can be my aunt.
Oh!
Nancy will never suspect.
Mr. Niles.
What the...
I thought everybody gone home and I couldn't sleep. Hello.
Ha!
She stops being articulate after hours, Nancy. It's all right.
Oh, my. Just look at this room. It's a wreck. But it'll be real nice when we've straightened it up in the morning.
You're not wasting much time moving in, are you?
Oh, I'm in already.
Excuse me. I have a phone call to make.
Nancy, you go back to bed.
Well, I'm not sleepy, Mr. Niles. I could just as well start setting things to rights.
It's past four. Go to bed. Right, Nancy. Must go. Betty-bye.
Hello, Tony.
Well, good night, then.
Yes, darling.
Good night.
Oh, Mother's much better,
Tony. Good night, Nancy.
I can't get away after all. Yes, of course. Bye, darling.
Vivian.
I've had a lovely evening, Niles. But this wasn't it.
Gone! Well, you hunk of dog-eared doggerel. Did it work or did it work?
Oh, it worked. So far.
So far? What's that mean?
That girl, Nancy.
Oh, you can forget her.
She got you out of a peck of trouble.
She might say so. Oh, yeah.
I was just thinking there's trouble and there's trouble. But you know that already, or you'll find it out soon enough. Pleasant dreams, old boy. Pleasant dreams.
Trouble personified has to come. It's not too bad if it comes in as charming a person as Nancy Briggs. We'll stick around and see what happens. The MGM Theater of the Air, starring Ann Southern, with Myron McCormick and Carl Eastman. A missing bridegroom, a dream bride, a pair of bachelors who ought to know better than to take a woman for granted. But they don't know better. The road ahead may lead anywhere. But it looks as if it's going to be a difficult road. There are signposts for Nancy that read romance. But the question is, with whom? And when? And how? It is morning, the morning after the homecoming party for Malcolm Niles, bachelor, novelist, and man about town. Nancy is working about the kitchen, and as is Nancy's way, singing while she works.
Love, oh love, oh careless love. Love, oh love, oh careless love. Oh, it's love, oh love, oh careless love. You see what love has done to me.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Niles.
Morning. Have you any idea what's become of my mail, Nancy?
Well, you certainly had an awful lot, Mr. Niles.
I've been away a long time. Where is it? What do you think you're doing, anyhow?
Making breakfast.
I never eat breakfast.
What?
Well, coffee and toast. Would you mind telling me what you've done with my mail?
Coffee and toast? Well, no wonder you're irritable. Sit down and eat a real breakfast. Eggs, sausages, hot biscuits.
I'll have coffee. Then I'm going to work. And for the last time, where did you put the mail?
A man can't work when he's hungry, Mr. Niles. You need a full stomach.
I write.
Oh, I thought you meant work. Well, there, a man's breakfast. Fall in.
I've been trying to intimate to you that I don't want any breakfast.
But it's all ready.
Oh.
Hello, good morning, cheerio. This where that delicious aroma's coming from? Oh, it is. Uh-huh.
Nancy, for the sixth, the tenth time, where
I put it in the drawer of your desk, Mr. Niles. The desk looks neater that way.
If there's one thing I can't stand, it's having my mail disturbed.
Oh. Vicious-tempered fellow. Foul before noon. Say, this is good. Darn good.
Well, I'm glad somebody appreciates my cookie.
Any more sausages?
Oh, yes, sir.
Fine. I have the apartment across the way, you know. Terrace adjoins and all that. The smell of this delicious food made its way to me by way of the terrace.
Well, here you are, Mr. Hanson.
You know my name?
Oh, you told me last night.
Last night? You mean I've seen you before?
Well, you opened the door when I came looking for Mr. Niles.
The girl from... wait a minute now. I've got a great memory, you know. Just a little lazy. Oak Mountain.
Birch Valley.
Birch Valley, of course. But you weren't trying to find Malcolm Niles. You were looking for... wait a minute now. Henry... No. Thomas.
George. George Wilkins.
Yeah, George Wilkins. I never forget a name. Yeah, that's it. You know, you know, you're the most decorative cook I've ever seen.
Well, thank you.
Now, if you'll give me just one more biscuit, just one, mind.
Oh, there's plenty. They've got to be eaten while they're hot.
Nancy, did you put this ad in the paper?
Ad in the paper, Mr. Niles?
Personal column. George, girl who loves you, wants to help you out of trouble. We'll get money. Come to 924 Park Avenue, Mr. Niles' apartment. Nancy, did you?
Oh, yes, I forgot to tell you. Here are your biscuits, Mr. Hanson.
Oh, thank you, my dear.
At the Missing Persons Bureau, they said I should put in an ad, and I did.
Somebody missing?
Why did you give my address?
Well, I don't know anybody else.
That's what you call real loneliness.
Nancy, come here.
Is anything wrong, Mr. Niles?
Don't stay too long, and they want more biscuits.
That's what's wrong.
Oh, my goodness.
15, 20 bums, as many as the hall holds. There's more in the lobby downstairs. That's what you did with your little ad.
Hello.
That's George?
Oh, no. George is handsome.
Then why did you say hello?
Well, he said hello. I was just being neighborly.
Well, I wish you'd stop being neighborly. You see George?
Well, let me see. No, he's not here.
Gentlemen. I regret to say that none of you is the lady's soulmate. I am very sorry.
Hey, do I have mouthfuls?
Yeah, are you hungry?
Well, I ain't eaten since yesterday noon.
Why, that's terrible. There's plenty of food.
Yeah, wait a minute.
You all come right in.
Trampling hurt almost ran me down. A Florence Nightingale of the skillet. Where'd you find him, Al?
Birch Valley, and she's going back there today.
Well, that's no way to treat a good cook.
Today, and on the first train out. Oh, let's see. As Mirabelle swept into the room, the chatter ceased. Women turned to stare. Head high, eyes alight, she marched past them. The Countess turned. Her green eyes laughed mockingly. Ah, she believed.
My things are gone.
At last she is here. At last...
Hear me? My things are gone.
Go away, please. At last...
Someone stole my wedding dress, my veil, and my suitcase.
I thought I gave you a ticket and told you to get onto
a
train.
Well, I had it all packed. Everything was in it. I set it down right outside this door.
Practically on top of my hand.
Practically on top of... What?
I stole your suitcase. I stole your bag on the train.
Oh, Mr. Niles.
I spend my life going about stealing from frilly-headed little bronze.
Oh, Mr. Niles, I didn't mean you stole it.
Nobody's stolen anything. Nothing has been stolen.
Oh, maybe I misread my lease. Maybe you live in this apartment and I should be working across the hall.
Well, I've transferred your things to my place, Nancy. This Ophir doesn't appreciate fine cooking. He doesn't deserve you. From now on, you're working for me. Just name your own terms.
Oh, but I couldn't.
You want to find your... what's his name? George Hooses, don't you?
Oh, yes.
You have to live while you're hunting him up, don't you?
Yes.
Well, then the motion is carried.
I'd rather cook for you, Mr. Niles.
Well, we can have him for Sunday dinner.
I don't care what you do, and I'm busy Sundays.
See? It's all settled. Run along and get unpacked now.
Well, I guess there's nothing else to do.
Oh, Nancy.
Yes, sir?
I'll be home for lunch at 1. I'd like something tricky with kidneys.
And ground glass.
All right, Mr. Hanson.
You're going to regret this piece of folly, Bob.
Well, I'll tell you this, old boy. I'm surprised you can treat that girl as you do.
Well, she's your headache now, old boy.
Poor little mite. Alone in the big city.
Hmm?
A lamb among wolves. Lamb. Wonder if she knows the secret of marinating lamb.
Alone in the big city. Lamb among wolves. There's an idea for a cereal in that. A great city's regeneration through the purity of a simple country girl. 50,000 words at 20 cents a word?
nothing to it at all. You just talked to me naturally about yourself, your life in Birch Valley, your family and friends.
And you'll help me find George, Mr. Niles?
Be working on it all the time.
Well, all right. First, you've got to know about Grandpa when he was a little boy.
Hold it. Not quite that far back. Suppose we begin when you were, say, 17.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just talk to me naturally about yourself.
My goodness. Who'd ever thought I could talk about myself for two solid weeks, practically?
Hey, well, into the second installment. Now, today, we let it ring.
It's Mr. Hansen about his dinner.
Let him eat out.
Oh, I couldn't do that. Hello? Yes, Mr. Hansen. Yes, sir. Eggs Benedict and Canadian bacon and mushroom caps.
But I haven't been able to talk to you for 3 days, Nancy.
Mr. Hansen keeps me awfully busy, Mr. Niles.
I am pushing a deadline. Doesn't that mean anything to you? Oh, blast that thing.
Please, Mr. Niles. After all, where would I be if it hadn't been for Mr. Hansen? Where?
Nancy, tell him to hang up. We've got work to do this afternoon.
Hush. Yes, Mr. Hansen?
Time is running out. This installment's overdue now.
A steak with the same sauce I made last week?
Oh,
why, of course, Mr. Hansen. It'll be no trouble at all.
Well, now, this I like to see.
Hello, Mr. Niles.
The cocktail hour and a cocktail shaker in use.
I'm churning butter.
And a cocktail shaker?
Well, you can't buy a butter churn in all New York. And you know what they charge at stores for a measly little pound of butter?
Speaking of food budgets and economics, my income is in jeopardy.
Oh, it is, Mr. Niles?
The fourth installment's due tomorrow. Now sit down, Nancy.
But I have work to do.
So have I. First, it's still true Mr. Hansen's working tonight.
Oh, yes.
Not coming home for dinner.
Well, he said not this morning.
Good. Now I'll be a good girl and concentrate.
All right.
Now, let's see. We left off where our heroine met the gangster, Louis the Gyp.
Mr. Niles, there's something that bothers me.
Yes, what is it?
Louis the Gyp. Mm-hmm. I don't know. The way you describe him, he sounds an awful lot like Mr. Hansen.
That's a minor detail.
Well, I don't like him. Not after the way he talked to his mother. Of course, maybe the heroine could reform him.
What would you do if you met this gangster?
Well, I'd tell him a thing or two.
Of what exactly, in your own words?
Well, first of all, I'd say...
Oh, not again.
Excuse me. Hello? Oh, yes, hello, Mr. Hansen. It's Mr. Hansen.
Oh, that's a change.
Yes? Oh, I see. Well, all right, Mr. Hansen, it'll be ready. Bye. He's coming home for dinner.
Oh, no, he can't do that. He said that you promised.
I'm sorry, Mr. Niles. I guess he likes my cooking.
What is more important, my art or his stomach?
Well, I won't have to start for 15 minutes.
15 minutes? 15 minutes in which to get my heroine's reaction to the entire underworld? Oh, who invented those confounded things anyhow?
Alexander Graham Bell in 1865. Hello? Yes, Mr. Hansen.
Tell the oaf you're busy.
Well, I don't see why not, Mr. Hansen. All right, 7 o'clock sharp. Bye. He wants chicken. The way we fix it in Birch Valley.
That chicken may cost him an author.
Well, we've got enough for two. You could stay for dinner and maybe Mr. Hansen could help with the story.
I'll tell you how Mr. Hansen can help with the story. I'll tell you what he can do and where he can go. This one is on me. Hello.
Nancy, about the dressing for the chicken, I think...
Oh, you can't get home for dinner after all, old boy.
Yeah, what's that? Who is it?
Oh, that's a shame, Bob.
Mal, get off that phone.
He says to tell you his plans have changed at the last minute. He's not coming home for dinner after all.
Get out of my kitchen. Where's Nancy?
Oh, that's too bad.
Oh, Nancy, sorry to hear that, old boy, but I'll see that she doesn't go hungry.
Hey, I am coming home. I certainly am.
The story's coming along fine, old boy.
You two-faced, double-crossing friend in the grass.
How's that? Take Nancy out for dinner? Well, yeah, sure. I'd be delighted.
No, of course not.
Oh, isn't that sweet, always thinking of other people.
Oh, that's darn decent of you, old boy.
If it's the last thing I do, help me of all the low conniving...
Now, don't work too late now. So long, pal. Go on, get ready, Nancy. We're going out for dinner.
Oh, that'll be wonderful, Mr. Niles. I'll be ready in 10 minutes.
Make it 5. I'll see what he wants this time.
All right, 5 minutes.
Hello?
Mal.
Hello?
Now, listen, old boy.
You must have the wrong number.
I'm just trying
to save your nickel. From here on, the receiver is off the hook.
Perhaps it's okay to steal a man's lifetime savings, but it certainly isn't okay to steal his cook. When the men in Nancy's life catch up with each other, the fireworks are touched off, and we'll be back in time to see the display. Now, Act Three of the MGM Theater of the Air, starring Ann Southern. It isn't often that a girl comes to New York to find a bridegroom who took French leave on her wedding day. It isn't often that a girl, having come to New York, finds herself a dream cook for a prominent publisher, and at the same time, the dream heroine of a prominent novelist. But Nancy manages to be all of these things. Of course, it couldn't happen to every girl, but it could happen to Nancy, from whom we have now learned to expect the unusual. At the moment, Nancy is dining out with novelist Malcolm Niles at one of New York's ultra supper clubs.
Well, you like it, Nancy?
Oh, yes, it's a beautiful place, Mr. Niles. Except I feel sort of plain in just street clothes.
Nonsense.
And it's a funny feeling not to know what you're going to have for dessert.
You've never had crepes, Lizette?
Gee, it doesn't even sound like food at all.
Oh, they're more than food, Nancy. Crepes, Suzette, are the climax of dramatic cuisine.
Is that so?
They're served in a chafing dish with a burning flame from the fumes of brandy sauce. You listening to me?
Oh, yes.
What are crepes, Suzette?
What?
You see, you aren't listening. What are you staring at?
You? No, I wasn't listening, Mr. Niles. I was thinking how nice it is being here with you.
Oh, well, fine, fine. Well, now let's get to work, shall we?
Work? Oh.
We've got our heroine alone in the park.
We have?
This is the crucial scene so far. This is where love enters her life, see? Even my serials can't go on for more than 3 installments without love.
Hello.
What?
I just said hello to that man over there.
I thought you said you didn't know anybody in New York.
Oh, I don't, Mr. Niles.
And what are you speaking to that man for?
Well, I was just being neighborly. My goodness, he smiled at me and I smiled back and he said, hello, I think, so I said hello.
Nancy, New York is not Birch Valley. You can get into a lot of trouble smiling at strangers.
If everybody smiled, there wouldn't be any strangers. Gee, the poor man's probably lonesome, like I was when I first came to New York. Gee, when I first came to New York. My, that seems a long time ago.
Oh, I dare say. Now, where were we? Oh, yes, in the park, with love about to enter the life.
Shall I tell you something, Mr. Niles?
What?
With Mr. Hanson eating home all the time and you and your questions, I've been so busy I haven't even thought of George. And I should think of George.
Why?
Why? Well, Mr. Niles, you know why. And shall I tell you something else?
Please do.
I've been having fun, too. Cooking for Mr. Hanson and answering your questions, especially working with you, is fun.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. I've got some questions for you to answer now.
Oh.
What's that mean? Oh.
Oh, just nothing.
Well, in the park, our heroine meets the man she's going to fall in love with. The question is, what kind of a man would fall for a girl like this?
Maybe you'd better find out first what sort of a man she'd fall for.
What? All right, let's see that finger.
Oh, it's all right, Mr. Niles.
Oh, quite a burn. Here, put some of this butter on.
Oh, no, really.
I'll go on it. It's not store butter. There. Now, that'll teach you not to play with fire.
Mr. Niles, I'm terribly sorry. I didn't know it was only a dessert.
Forget it. You're home now in your own room. A good night's sleep, and it'll all seem like a bad dream in the morning.
But putting you to all this trouble.
It was rugged while it lasted, wasn't it? Oh, I could do with a drink.
Well, there's some water over by the bed. I keep it there for Mr. Hanson.
Well, I didn't mean exactly to... You what?
Mr. Hansen walks in his sleep.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Oh, he does, Mr. Niles.
I've roomed with him. I've camped with him. He never walks in his sleep.
He walked in his sleep last night. He was coming right in here. Only the window onto the terrace is closed.
I'll have a talk with Roaming Roberts in the morning.
We had a farmhand who walked in his sleep. His wife threw a pitcher of cold water on him to wake him up.
Yeah, well, you climb into bed now and get yourself some pleasant drink.
Oh, Mr. Niles.
What?
Look, it's Miss Hansen. Sleepwalking again.
Well. Turn off the light. Is the window unlocked?
Now it is, yes.
Give me that pitcher of water, quick. Now, come along, my wandering boy. Come along. Come on.
Nancy, where am I?
Turn on the light, Nancy. You're well on the road to Alcatraz, you cad.
Mal, what are you doing here?
Getting you out, cad. Come on.
Now, wait. I demand an explanation. She's my cook.
Good night, Nancy.
Good night, Mr. Niles. Good night, Mr. Hansen.
I tell you, I demand an explanation.
What have you got to say for yourself?
What have I got to say? You kidnap my cook. You take her out to dinner. You drown me for no reason. And then... What were you doing in there?
It so happens I was bringing her some butter.
A likely story.
Well, you can believe it or not. She got burned.
I'm not surprised.
Well, I'll tell you this, my fine meandering friend. After everything that happened tonight, I'm taking care of her.
Well, what else happened?
Never mind that. From now on, I'm Nancy's guardian, and my first official act is to see that you sleep in my room tonight. Okay.
Good morning, Nancy.
Oh, he flew away. I'd almost coaxed him right under the clothesline. Ah, good morning, Mr. Hansen. My, you're up early this morning.
Yeah, I didn't sleep a wink all night. I want to apologize for last night, Nancy. I just feel
terrible. Oh, you feel much better after breakfast. I'll get it as soon as I finish hanging up the wash, Mr. Hansen.
Call me Robert. Look, I did a lot of thinking last night about you, about myself. I suddenly saw myself for what I am, no good, lazy, aimless,
shiftless...
Oh, don't
you talk that way.
A waster, a cad, a no good, lazy, aimless...
I won't hear another word.
Point is, Nancy, man can go just so far alone, leading a useless life, and then he meets someone.
That's just what happens to Louis, the gangster in Mr. Niles' story.
Don't interrupt. But what I'm trying to say, for the first time in my life... The first time...
Oh, there you are.
I find myself in a position where...
At it again, and in broad daylight.
You keep out of this.
What's the matter with everybody this morning?
I warned you last night, Bob. Mal,
I'm going to marry Nancy.
You're going to what?
You're going to... What did you say, Mr. Hansen?
If she'll have me. If you'll do me the honor, my dear.
Why, my goodness. If this is a joke or something...
Oh, it's no joke. I said I'd done a lot of thinking.
You're not serious.
I've never been more serious. She's the only genuine person who's ever come into my life, including you.
You're crazy. You're mad.
Oh, go away, will
you?
Now,
you listen to
me. I won't listen to you.
Oh, hush, both of you. Mr. Hansen, if you mean that about wanting to marry me...
I did. I do with all my heart.
It's awfully sweet, but I don't know what to say.
Say no, of course.
You see, I love someone else very much.
What's more, she's going to marry him and not you, old boy.
Why, Mr. Niles?
There's never been any question about that. It's what she came to New York to do, marry George.
Oh.
But she hasn't found George.
I haven't found George, Mr. Niles.
She will.
Maybe she doesn't even want George anymore.
Certainly she wants George.
Just a minute, Mr. Niles.
They come from the same town, same background, interests. They're ideally suited for each other.
I think I can decide that for myself, Mr. Niles.
Now, see here, Bob. I'm your friend, your pal.
Yes.
You don't love this girl. She's got you hypnotized, that's all. Suppose you married her. What would you talk about? Who would your friends be? What sort of life would you lead? New York's foremost publisher married to a Birch Valley buttercup.
Oh!
Now, hold on, old boy.
You!
I know, Bob.
What do you know? What do you know about me? I'm not one of your silly heroines. I'm Nancy Hollister McFarland Briggs, and I'm real. Not something that came out of a stupid book.
Well, no, I didn't mean...
You think I've got nothing to talk about? Why, when I was 15, I wrote a poem at graduation that had more to say than all your books put together.
Well, now, Nancy,
And as for friends, I'll bet I've made more real friends around the neighborhood in 3 weeks than you've made all your life. Why, if I love a man, I'd make him a good wife, and that's a lot more than I can say for you. That's a whole lot more than I can say for you.
Well, Birch Valley Buttercup, huh?
Go away.
This happens to be my terrace. Go away yourself. Before you do, I've sent for a family.
Hmm?
Her family. I wired them to come up for our wedding.
Well, you are crazy. I met Mama and I had a full description of Grandpa. Wait till you see him.
I expect to very shortly. They're flying here as my guest.
Bob, I can't let you do this.
Oh, bosh.
Now, if you won't consider yourself, think of your mother and father. Why, if they ever met Nancy's family, the blue blood in their veins would turn white.
They'll meet her family all in good time.
You're determined to go through with it?
Yes.
Even when she's admitted she loves George?
Yes.
Well, I won't have it, you understand? You and that girl, I'll stop it somehow if I have to drag you to a psychiatrist.
Psychiatrist? Maybe that's what you need. A good, honest psychiatrist who'll tell you the truth for once about yourself.
The truth?
Yes, that you're in love with her. You want to marry her.
Oh, you're an idiot.
Of course, that's it. I see it all now. You don't want me to marry her because you want it for yourself. Well, it won't work, see? Now go away from here and stay away.
He's out of his mind. That's what it is. He's possessed. Of all the idiotic... Me in love with that pest? Why, she spelled nothing but trouble for me ever since I laid eyes on her. Oh, no, it isn't that at all. I'm thinking of Bob. My friend. My buddy. Well, I've been a nervous wreck ever since she followed me to New York. Oh, I've got to scotch this thing between her and... hello. I want to send a telegram to Mr. and Mrs. Robert Hansen, Sr., Beacon Hill, Boston. Come at once. Bob making grievous mistake. Involving family name. That's right. Grievous mistake.
Nancy? Come on in, folks. She must be out in the kitchen.
Well, I hope so. I could do with some of Nancy's victuals. They ain't had a decent meal since she left.
Why, Papa, I've cooked all your favorite dishes.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Well, Mr. Hansen?
Robert, please.
Quite a place you got here. Might fancy, but nice.
I'm glad you like it, sir.
But where's Nancy? We want a surprise.
I'll go get her. I didn't say a word about your coming.
Good evening, Robert.
What?
Speaking of surprises, I've got a couple for you.
Hmm. Well, Robert, have you lost your tongue?
Don't stand there gaping, boy.
Mother, father, where did... Oh, hello.
We came the moment we got Malcolm's telegram.
Left on the next train.
Malcolm's telegram, I see. This is Mrs. Briggs and Grandpa, my parents.
Howdy, folks.
How do you do?
Isn't anybody going to introduce me? I'm Malcolm Niles.
My best friend in wolf's clothing.
You don't remember me, Mr. Niles, but we met before in a bookstore in Birch Valley.
Robert. What's this Malcolm tells us about a wedding? Who is this woman?
She's my granddaughter Nancy, as fine a girl as ever came out of the South. Do you like fruitcake and syllabub?
We do not.
No, indeed.
Don't evade the issue, Robert. Who is she?
Oh, Mother, you'll love Nancy. She's wonderful.
And anybody says she ain't has got the me to answer for her.
We ought to be proud to join this family, Mother.
Why?
Why, Robert?
Well, because we need fresh stock. We've been watered down with decadent nobility.
Robert, how can you stand there and insult your family in front of these...
peasants.
Say, you mean us?
The whole affair is utterly absurd.
Oh, Mother, be fair about this. You haven't even seen Nancy yet.
I don't have to see her. I've seen them.
Why, the idea. Papa, you hear her?
Think you're too good for us, do you? Well, let me tell you a thing, Mrs. Hoity-toity.
Won't forget this, Malcolm. All the
inside. I did it to save you from yourself.
Oh, thank you.
You'll mean that someday.
You won't live to see it. You and I approve. Come on.
Quiet. Here comes Nancy.
Nancy? What's she doing with those bags? Oh, Nancy, my dear, I have a surprise for you.
Nancy, honey.
Mother, Grandpa. Oh.
Well, how did you get here?
Came up here by airplane. You know, if we Confederates had a few of those things, these Yankees wouldn't be so uppity today.
Oh, I'm so glad to see you. Yes, so glad.
Hey, wait a minute. You've been crying. Here, put them bags down.
Well, what brought you here? Why didn't you let me know?
It was all so sudden, honey.
Nancy, this is my mother and father. This is Nancy.
Oh, well, I'm mighty glad to meet you. Well, my, this is a pleasant surprise seeing you all.
Oh.
Oh, don't mind me. I'm just an innocent bystander.
Robert, your father and I wish to speak with you alone.
Alone, Robert.
Anything you've got to say, you say to our faces.
Why, Grandpa, that's rude.
No more than they rightly deserve.
I say it's a heap sight better to have a showdown right now before Nancy marries that young fella.
Who said I was going to get married?
He did.
Well, Nancy, we didn't decide. You didn't decide, but when I mentioned it this morning, I'd already sent for your folks, you see, and...
Say, let's get this straight. You wired us you and Nancy was going to get married.
I did, sir.
Well, are you or ain't you?
Are you going to let that man bully our son?
See here, my good man.
I ain't your good man.
I knew what he'd be like, Yankee.
Now, don't get excited. Nothing will be gained by getting excited. Please, everybody, keep quiet, please.
It seems you've all got something to say about my getting married, except me. I told Mr. Hanson how I felt this morning. He's sweet. One of the nicest people I know. There's someone else.
Nancy!
What? George? George! Where did you come from?
Well, I rang and knocked and rang and knocked. Finally walked in. Long time no see, Nancy.
Where have you been?
Oh, well, I lost my job, see. That's why I skipped the wedding. And that's why I didn't answer your ad sooner. But I got another job, and everything's hotsy-totsy now. These your bags?
Yes. I was just leaving for Birch Valley.
You're on your way, sweetheart.
Niles, this is all your doing, you...
My doing?
Yes, you brought him here.
He read the ad. You heard him.
Oh, you'd stop at nothing to keep me from marrying her.
Pop, on my word of honor.
Honor? You don't know the meaning of the word. You're trying to keep me from marrying her because you love her yourself.
What? What did you say?
Oh, it's true. Look at him. He's been trying to keep me away from you ever since that night he threw me out of your bedroom.
What?
Why, say, what in tunnel's been going on in this Babylon?
Mr. Niles, is that true, what he said?
What, to punch you in the nose, wise guy.
Go away, George.
Now, I'm going. I'm taking Nancy with me. Come on, baby. Come on, folks. Getting out of here. Well, Nancy, what are you staring at? You coming or not?
What? Oh, yes, of course. I... Oh... My bag.
I got them both here.
The other one, I had three.
Nancy, you only had two bags when you came.
That's right, I remember.
If she says she had three, she had three. You give her the other bag.
I haven't got her bag. I never did have her
bag.
Are
you trying to make a liar
out of me? Hush, all of you, keep quiet. I'd like to speak to Mr. Niles alone, please. Grandpa, take them all in the other room, will you?
You heard her. She wants to talk to him alone. And you, George Wilkins, exactly where was you at the time?
I was reading the paper.
Now, what's all this nonsense about a missing bag? You know as well as I do that you never had three...
Mr. Niles, you didn't deny it.
What?
When Mr. Hanson said you were in love with me yourself, you didn't say you weren't. Are you, Mr. Niles?
Yesterday I'd have said that he was crazy.
But today?
I guess I'm crazy. You spelled trouble from the first minute I laid eyes on you.
Oh, Mr. Niles.
And I'm practically a nervous wreck on account of you.
Oh, Grandpa, everybody, you can come back now.
Heaven only knows what our life together will be like. But the whole idea is...
Now, everybody, listen, everybody. Excuse me, Mr. Niles. I owe Mr. Niles a public apology. A minute ago, I let you all think he'd taken my bag, but he hadn't. I ought to be ashamed of myself, and I am. And now I feel better. Everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be just practically perfect. Oh, Malcolm.
Ann Southern will be back in just a moment. I've brought you back to the microphone, Anne, for a little closing offstage interview.
You mean questions about my personal life, whether I enjoy cooking and things like that?
Well, not exactly. What I really want to do is to congratulate you on the swell show you just gave.
Oh, Howard, that might embarrass me.
Well, we're a little proud of you around here, especially since you're on our radio in The Adventures of Maisie.
This isn't an interview, it's a commercial.
Well, going further, we all liked your psychological characterization in your latest film, Death in the Doll's House.
Thank you, Howard.
And thank you, Ann Southern.
You have been listening to Three Loves as Nancy, starring Ann Southern, adapted for radio by William Kendall Clark. Original music composed and conducted by Joel Herron. The program was directed by Marks B. Loeb and produced by Raymond Cass. The supporting cast included Myron McCormick and Carl Eastman. Ed Stokes speaking.